Okay, good morning. Today's daf is daf Kuf Chaf Dalid. It's a pretty lengthy daf. We're dealing again with the topic of different types of utensils. Some utensils are a kli shemalachto l'isur, a utensil whose primary use is for some prohibited activity. Then you have utensils that are kli shemalachto l'heter, a utensil whose primary use is for a permitted activity. Okay, let's start towards the top here. Again, of Kuf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, right? Three lines after the second Mishnah. Tanur Rabbanan, our sages taught us in a Braisa. There was a period where Jews were not keeping Shabbos. And so the rabbis at the beginning of the Second Temple era had to get people back into the mode of keeping Shabbos. So Barishona Yom Shlosha Kelim Nitalim B'Shabbos. When they had to get people back into the mode of keeping Shabbos, they said, don't move utensils on Shabbos, except for three very often used utensils. Or those three, Miktsoa Shel Dveila, the little knife used to cut open a ring of dried figs. Zuama Listeron Shel Kdeira, the ladle used to extract the gravy of a soup. V'Sakin Ktana Shel Gabe Shulchan, and the small knife that goes onto a table. So initially they said all utensils don't move except for these three. Then they saw people were keeping Shabbos again. So hitiru, then they permitted moving some utensils. V'chazu v'hitiru, then again they permitted some more. And finally for a third time, chazu v'hitiru, they permitted some more. Ad shamru, then they said, until they eventually said, kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbos, the Mishnah, all utensils can be moved around on Shabbos. Chutzun Meser Agadol, except for the very large saw, the Yasid Shel Machresha, and the axe of a plow. So the Gemara now asks, and it's going to have two opinions, Abai and Rava. Ma Yitiru V'chazu V'Yitiru V'chazu V'Yitiru. What did they first permit? What did they secondly permit? What did they third time permit? Amar Abai, Abai explains, Yitiru Davar Shemalachtu L'Heter. Initially, the first permission, first, nothing was allowed except for three utensils. The first loosening, the first opening, reopening, was to allow taking a utensil's primary uses for something permitted and to move it, letzorech gufo, to move it, to use it for something else permitted, albeit not the main purpose of it, but for something permitted. But they were not allowing you to move a permitted utensil for its space. Chazu v'yitiru, the second permission, was that davar shemalachtu l'heter, a utensil whose primary use is for permitted things, was af l'tzorech makomo, could even be moved to use that space that it's occupying. And the third permission was chazu v'yitiru davar shemalachtu l'isur. They allowed you to move something which is primarily used for something prohibited, let's say a fan, as we gave the example the other day. They said you can move it, l'tzorech gufo in, you can move the fan in order to use it for something permitted, to move the fan closer to you, but not to get its space, l'tzorech makom lo, but not that you want to put something in that space, you want to put a chair there, that they didn't allow you to move the fan for. V'adayin b'yado achasin, and still they were only allowing you to move a utensil that you can move with one hand. B'shtei yadav lo, but a big utensil that needs two hands to move, they weren't allowing. Hacham, until they said a fourth leniency, kol hakelim nitalim b'Shabbos, all utensils can be carried on Shabbos. Afilu b'shtei yadayim, even those utensils that need two hands to carry. Amalei Rava said to Abai, Michti, I don't understand. Once it says, Hitiru Katani, they permitted the carrying of utensils. So if they're permitting it, in other words, they're saying, we didn't allow anything, but now for Shabbos you can do some things. Why would they say you can move a utensil that's permitted, that's for a permitted use? You can move it for another permitted use, but you can't move it for its space. Moving it for its space is also something needed for Shabbos. Why would there be a difference at one point between moving it for some use or moving it for its space? Therefore, Rava says differently. Initially, they permitted utensils that are used for permitted uses. They allowed you to move them for another permitted use, and they now allowed you to move them for their space. The second leniency was chazu v'yitiru mechama letzel. Then they said you can even move a utensil that has a permitted use, that's primarily for permitted use, to save the utensil, to help the utensil. The utensil's out in the sun, it's hurting the utensil. You can move it to the shade to help it. Then Itiru, the third leniency, was that Davar Shemalachto Le'Isser, a utensil whose primary use is for something prohibited, they allowed you to move it both Litzorech Gufo and Litzorech Makomo in. So there's a big difference. According to Abaye, a utensil is used primarily for something prohibited. You can't move it for its space. You can only move it for a permitted use. According to Rava, you can move it for its space too. The one thing you can't do is that a utensil of primarily a prohibited use, you cannot move to save it from the sun to the shade. And then the final leniency was initially they were only allowing you, not things that you can move with one hand. They're allowing you to move things that ba'adam echadin, that only one person is needed to move it. Shnei bnei adam lo, if you need two people to move it, then not. Achamu, then they said, kol hakelim nitolim b'shabbos, all utensils can be moved on Shabbos, afilu b'shnei adam, even those utensils that need two people to move them. So as we're going to see throughout the sugya, the same brisos and mishnayos that we quoted earlier on the questions of whether you can move kli shemalachto l'isur, l'tzorech gufo, now we're going to be brought up to see if that's a proof, whether you can move a kli shemalachto l'isur, a utensil's primary use is for something prohibited, the tzorech makomo, for the sake of its space, which now we see is a dispute between Abaye and Rava. So Esbe Abaye, Abaye challenged Rava. Rava says, you're allowed to move a utensil whose primary use is for something prohibited. You can move it for a secondary use, which is a permitted use, plus you can use it for its space. Abaye says, you could take a fan to move it closer to you, but you can't, for permitted use, but you couldn't take a fan because you want to use that space in order to get a chair there. So Esfah Abaye LeRava, Abaye challenges Rava, what about the Brice, the Medocha? If you have a food processor, a mortar and pestle, Im Yesh Basum, the Brice says if there's garlic in it, so that since you're allowed to move the garlic, you're allowed to move the utensil. It's Altanosa, you can move it because of the garlic. But if there's no garlic in it, so you can't move it just because you want to sit on it and you want to use it for a permitted use. So if you can't move it for a permitted use, you presumably also can't move it for its space. That's against Rava, who says a klisha malachto l'isur, a utensil that's used for prohibited use, like a mortar and a pestle, you can move for its space. Answer the Gemara, hacha b'mayaskina, when the Braisa says you can only move it if you have garlic on it, that's because you're not moving it for its space. You're moving it mechama l'tzel, you're moving it to save it from the sun. And that I agree, that when you're trying to move it for its own sake, for the sake of the utensil, that you're only allowed to do with some other reason allowing you to do it, but not just because you want to move it to save it, because it is a kli shemalachto l'isur, a utensil that's used primarily for a prohibited use, for grinding. Esfei now by a challenge with the other question that we saw yesterday. V'shavin, we learned in a Mishnah, in Masechet Beitza, there's an argument between Hisham and Beis Hillel, whether you can take an ali, that's a big pestle on Yom Tov, for the sake of preparing food for Yom Tov, can you move the ali, even though the ali is normally used for grinding, can you use it in order to cut meat with it, or to cut meat on it? They both agree, Shin Katzavel of Basr, if you did cut meat on it, so now that's it. Now you don't have a purpose of cutting meat. Aslo Tzatlo, you can't move it around. Why? Because it's a kli, Shemalachto L'Isur. It's a utensil whose primary use is prohibited on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to grind on Yom Tov. So I don't understand. According to Rava, you should be able to move it just to get the space. So Mar says, well, okay. Rav will tell you when it says that they agree that you can't move it, it's because you're trying to move it to save it from the sun. You're not moving it for the space. But if you would move it for the space, Rav would say you'd be allowed to move it. Okay, going back to the Braisa about the different utensils. Rav Chanina said, this that we learned in the Braisa, that at one point they made a law, don't move any utensils except for three. That was B'mei Nechemiah ben Chachlai and Mishnezu. That was in the days of Nechemiah, when we began to build the second temple. The Chassid, as it says, Bayam Mahim, on those days, Nechemiah says, Re'isi B'Yehuda, I saw in Judea, when we were returning from Persia, Dorchim Gitos B'Shabbos, I saw people cutting, stepping on the grapes on Shabbos to make wheat. U'mevi'in Aremos, and they're bringing piles and putting it on donkeys. And they're carrying on Shabbos. So because they were carrying on Shabbos, you had to make a decree. Gzeiras Kalim. No moving of utensils except for just three. Amr Belezer. Belezer said the next few lessons, Kanin, lessons about the beams that were put into the shulchan, put into the table of the showbread. Maklos, the lesson about the sticks that were used to enable the skinning of the Karban Pesach. Glustera and Medocha, Kulan kodem ataras kelim nishnu. All those mishnayos were taught before they started permitting moving utensils. Kanan ditznan, following mishnah about the Beis Hamikdash, we know that there was showbread on the lechem apanim, on the shulchan. Lechem apanim was on the shulchan. Mishnah says in Menachos, lo sidra kanan v'lo nitzinasim doches haShabbos. Putting the beams back along the parts of the shulchan to put the little half tubes that they would normally have the breads on, resting on them as shelves, to put them back in their spots, to be able to put the bread back, was not done on Shabbos, not to take the beams off, nor to put the beams back in. Rather, on Shabbos, they would stack all six loaves of one stack and six loaves on the other stack on top of each other. And on Matzoy Shabbos, they would separate each loaf from each other by putting the tubes in to recreate the shelves. Maklos, the Mishnah about sticks, the Talmud in the Mishnah, Maklos stak and chalakim ayusham. There were thin sticks in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, however, when Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, Manicho al Ksefo val Kasev Chavero v'tole umafshit. They would put one stick on the shoulder of, you know, two people would stand, the two Kohanim would stand with sticks on their shoulders. They would hang the Karban Pesach on the sticks and then they would skin it off if it was during the week. But Rabbi Elazar said, Arbasu Shchalios b'Shabbos, if Erev Pesach is on Shabbos, Maniach Yado al Katev Chavero, I would put my hand on my friend's shoulder, starting now today's Daf Kuf Chav Dalet. V'yad chaveiro al ktefo, and my friend would put his hand on my shoulder. V'tolo mafshit, and we would hang the Karban Pesach between our two arms and skin off the Karban Pesach. Lustra is a peg. It's not within a Mishnah. Nagar shiyesh b'rosho glustra, a peg that's put in front of a door, and it has at its top a little head to keep the door closed. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shom Tom in Pesach Zev Tolu B'Chaveiro B'Shabbos. Yeshua says you can drag it from one door to put it down in front of another door. So it's not regular building, not regular carrying. You're dragging it. It's Tiltum in Atzad. However, Rabbi Yeshua Omer Shom Tom in Pesach Zev Tolu B'Chaveiro B'Shabbos. Rabbi Yeshua says you can take it. I'm sorry. Rabbi Tarfon Omer Harev Kacholo Kelim. It's like regular utensils. U'mitaltel, and you're allowed to carry it. Chatzer in a courtyard. And Medocha Hadamar, and Medocha is the Mishnah we just mentioned, that when you have a grinding thing, you can't move it unless it has a garlic on it. So since you can move the garlic, then you can move the grinding machine. So all of these lessons, Rebbe Elazar claimed, were all taught at a time when there was a Gzeiras Kalim, when you weren't allowed to move around utensils. But once they started loosening it up, and they said you can move a utensil, the Tzorach Kufo, you can move a utensil, maybe even a Dover Shemalach Tol Isur, something which is primarily for a prohibition, you can move it under certain circumstances. And they didn't say these lessons. So just 1 second to finish till the Mishnah. Amar Rabba, Rabba said, no, Mimai, who says, all these lessons were taught after they started to permit moving utensils. And even so, Kanim, they didn't allow you to move the reeds and put them back into the Shulchan. Time of my why? Meshum Afish, the whole reason why you have reeds in the table is to create ventilation, so that when you have ventilation between the breads and the showbread, the breads will not rot. They're not gonna ruin each other. Well, just to leave them there for a couple of hours, Baha'i Porta Lomi Afshi, to leave them for a couple of hours, they're not going to ruin each other. They're not going to rot. And so therefore, they never permitted moving the reeds for this. Maklos, the issue of the sticks. Efshakarib Elazar. Maybe, since you have another option, since you have the option of putting an arm on each other's shoulders, and in that way hanging the Karban Pesach, you didn't have to move the sticks. Since you don't have to move the sticks, they didn't allow it. Glustera, the issue of the peg. Maybe that was according to Rabbi Yanai, and it's not an issue of muktzah at all. Rabbi Yanai said, Rabbi Yanai, that Mishnah about moving the peg from one door to another door was talking about in a courtyard that doesn't have an Eruv. So in a courtyard where there doesn't have an Eruv, there's a law that you're not allowed to move anything around. Not issues of muktzah. You're not allowed to move anything around because there's no Eruv. But if you'd have If you'd have, though, right, it's a court that doesn't have an Eruv, okay? So it's working like this. If Yeshua has a sever, if Yeshua holds, when you have a peg on a door, stopping a door inside of a doorway, Tocha Pesach Lufnim Dami. The peg that's in the doorway is as if it's inside the house. So to move the peg is like moving from the house to the courtyard with no Eruv that you're not allowed to do. And therefore, Kimetzatum under the Batim Bechotzer. It's like carrying the utensil of the house in the courtyard that you're not allowed to do. However, Bitarfin Sabar, Tocha Pesach Lufnim Dami. Yes, it's in the doorway, but it's still in the courtyard. So it's as if you have an item in a courtyard, you're moving it around within the courtyard, it's okay. And in terms of the question of the medocha, about the grinding, the food processor that needs to have garlic to be able to move it, maybe it's not after they loosened up with the, maybe it's not before they loosened up the moving of utensils. Really, it was at a time when they had already loosened up the moving of utensils. But this is Rabbi Nechemiah. It's like the view of Rabbi Nechemiah, who, as we're about to see, he says you're only allowed to move a utensil for its use. And now let him move a utensil for some other use. Yeah, question. Baruch. Okay, so Baruch asked, what's the philosophy about around the garlic? The idea is like this. Since it's a utensil, it's a kli shemalach tol iser. It's not a regular muktzah. It's a kli. It's a utensil. But it's a utensil whose primary use is for something prohibited, for grinding. So here the rabbis made leniencies. They said you're allowed to move it if there is something which is not muktzah on it. So even though we saw earlier that when you have a dead body, you're only allowed to move the dead body when there's something, when there's a loaf on top of the dead body, but that was only because of kavodah brios, so as to give honor to the deceased. That doesn't apply here when you talk about a utensil. There's no issue of kavodah brios. But nevertheless, since this is a kli, it's a utensil, and in utensils they loosen things up, they invoke the similar leniency. They said, you can't move it without something on it, but if there's something on it which is not muktzah, like garlic, then you'd be allowed to move it.
It could be an onion.
Could be an onion too. Yeah, but usually they used it for garlic, so they're talking about garlic.
When it comes to the bread on the dead body, that it is moving, so why couldn't they take the bread off and put them on a shelf, you know,
because the issue is not about the bread, the issue is about the shelving. You can't put the shelving back. You can put the bread there, but
then
of course you could put it on it. We never said you couldn't. We said you couldn't put the shelving in place because you don't need to. It's not so necessary.
Well, it's the concept of the candlesticks
that
stay in the
sitter
on it,
you know,
to move.
Yeah, yeah, be similar issues. All right, next Mishnah. All utensils can be moved for a need and not for a need. Rabbi Nechemiah Omer, any talan el tzorach. Rabbi Nechemiah says you can only move utensils for a need. This is a very vague Mishnah. My letzorach, my shalol letzorach. What does it mean? That according to the Tanakhama, you can move utensils for a need and not for a need. Rabbi Nechemiah says you can only move it for a need. What does it need? Amar Rabba, Rabba says, letzorach means like this. Davar shemalach to leheter, a utensil which is primarily used for permissible things. Letzorach kufo. You're allowed to move it for some permissible use. Shalom letzorach. What does it mean? A not necessary movement. Davar shemalach to leheter. Again, it's a utensil primarily used for permissible things. Letzorach mekomo. To move it for its space. So, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, you can't move davar shemalach to leheter, something which is for permissible movements. You can't move it for it to get access to its space. However, davar shemalach to leisur, utensil that's used for something prohibited, letzorach kufo in, you can move it to use it for something permitted. Letzorach makom alo, you can't move it for its space. Us, Rabbi Nechemiah Lameimah, Rabbi Nechemiah is saying, Afilu davar shemalach to leheter, even something which is for permissible use. Letzorach kufu in, you can move it for some other permissible use. Letzorach mekom alo, you can't move it to get access to its space. Amalei Rava, Rava said to him, I disagree. Letzorach mekomo, when you're moving something in order to get access to the space, shalom letzorach karisle, that's called a movement not for no reason. There wasn't a need, there is a need, you need the space. Ella, my Rava, so therefore Rava explained differently. Letzorach, when the Mishnah says that there's a movement for a need and a movement without a need, both of them permitted according to the Tanakhama. That's davar shemalach to leheter. That's referring to a utensil primarily used for permissible uses. Bein letzorach kufu, you can move it for some other permissible use. Bein letzorach mekomo, or you can move it to get access to the space.
And when the Tanna Kamma says you can move things even when you don't need to, that means afilu mechama letzel. You can move a davar shemalachtu laheter, something which is permissible, and it's used for a permissible use. You can move it to save it from the sun, to help the item itself, not just to get access to the space, not just to use the item in a permissible way, to save the item. Then it's saying davar shemalachtu leisur. But when you have a utensil, it's primarily used for prohibited uses, for a malacha. Letzorech. What is it? What's the meaning of a movement for a need? Letzorech gufo, to move it for its, to use it in a permissible way. Letzorech mekomo in, you can move it to get access to the space. But mechama letzelo, but you can't move it just to save it from the sun. You can't move it for its own sake. So let's say you have, as we said yesterday, a cheap phone, a flip phone. So the primary use of a phone is for phone calls. Phone call means I press down the accept button. That means I complete a circuit that's not allowed on Shabbos. Whether it's biblical or rabbinic, it's certainly not allowed. So this is a kli shemalach to l'isur, a utensil that's primary use is for something prohibited on Shabbos. Now we have an argument. Can I move this utensil if I need the space of what it's occupying or not? Everybody is agreeing, though, I can't move this utensil because it's raining outside. I don't want it to get ruined. I want to get it away from the rain. That I can't do. But maybe I can move it if I need the space of what it's occupying on the table. Maybe I can move it to use it as a paperweight for permissible use. For us, Rebbe Nechemi Lameim, Rebbe Nechemi is coming to say, even when you have a utensil that's primarily used for permissible things, like tissues. Tissues are primarily for permissible things on Shabbos. The Torah Kufo, you can move it for itself, to use it in some permissible way. The Torah Makomo, you can move it to get access to the space. But Mechama Letzelo, but if it's raining and I don't want the box of tissues to get ruined outside in the rain, I'm not allowed to move the box of tissues to save them from the rain. According to Ibn Nechemi, I'm not allowed to save Mechama Letzel from the sun to the shade, even Davar Shemalach to Leheter. Correct. That's right. Right. It's letzorech hakli. It's for the utensil. It's to help this utensil, not to get to the space, not to use the utensil. It's lahatzila takli.
So, mamash nechama l'tzeh.
Yes. Well, it depends what's on the table, and that's a dispute here. Then you certainly can set it. Yes, Rav Safra was sitting, and Rav Acha Bar Huna, and Rav Huna Bar Chanina. And they were saying like this, the Rabbah, according to Rabbah, Libet Rav Nechemya, according to Rav Nechemya, that when you have an item for a permissible use, davar shemalach to laheter, you're still not allowed to move it to get access to its space. So now you have the question of baruch, hani karo seichim etzaltlin. How do we move plates after we use them on a table? Okay, the plates have a permissible use, but when I want to clear the table after eating, it's because I want access to the space. I'm not allowed to move a kli shemalach to laheter for access to the space. Rav Safra answered, when the rabbis created all the laws of don't move certain things, they created a carve out to allow you to move the toilet because the toilet makes a bad smell. So dirty plates after a meal have the same status as a toilet, and therefore even though you wouldn't be allowed to move them based on the fact that they are utensils, you're allowed to move them based on the fact that they are soiled. Midadavia graf shel rei, they're within the category of the big toilet bowl. Abaya said another problem to Rabbah. Lamar, according to the master, Alibad Rabbi Nechemya, according to your interpretation of Rabbi Nechemya, that a utensil that has a permitted use, you still can't move it for its space. How do then we allow people to clear the tables after they eat? How do they clear the dishes? Amalei, so Rabbah gave this very answer. Rav Safra Chavrin Tirgum, Rav Safra, our friend, answered it. Because it's included within the category of moving toilet bowls. Abaye now challenges Rabbah from another point. The Braisa we saw before, Medocha, when you have the food processor, the Braisa says, Im yesh bashum, if there is garlic on the food processor, metaltonos, you can move it because of the garlic. Vim lavein metaltonos, otherwise you can't move it. So now, Abai is challenging Rava now, not Rava, challenging Rava. So he says, according to you, you allow moving utensils that have a prohibited use for the sake of their space. So here, why do you need to have garlic on it? So Rav will tell you, you know what we're dealing here? You're not dealing here with just moving it for its space. You're dealing it to save the utensil, to save the food processor from the sun. Then challenge Rav with another problem. Mishnah in Beitza. We learned, im kitzev alav basar, if you use the grinder to cut meat on it, then already, shav, and everybody agrees, just let's out, you can't move it on Yom Tov. So understand, it's a klisha malach to the Easter, yeah, it's a utensil for a prohibited use, but you allow moving a utensil for a prohibited use to get access to the space. So Rav answers, achanam, mecham letzel, here you're moving it to save it from the sun. But it's not, this we learned in the following Mishnah. Ain't something that's a kidzeru b'bakas. You can't support this is a Mishnah in Beitza. You can't support a big pot with little wedges of wood. V'chein b'dzelas, you can't support a door with a little wedge of wood. Now, a bakas to be Yom Tov, Dover Shemalach l'heteru. A little wedge of wood on Yom Tov is something which can be used because you can make fires on Yom Tov. Am a Dover Shemalach l'heteru, you see that even though something which has a permissible use, Bein l'tzorach gufo, Bein l'tzorach mekom asu, you can't move it even though you're moving it for something permissible. So the Gemara says, no. Awesome, over there, why can't you move it? My time, came into the Shabbos, Dover Shemalach l'heteru. Since on Shabbos, a piece of wood is something for prohibited use, because you can't make fires on Shabbos, therefore, they said you can't move it. Since you can't move it on Shabbos, they said you can't move it on Yom Tov either. Gzeira, Yom Tov atu Shabbos. Because they said, we'll make a decree on Yom Tov also, you can't move it just like you can't move it on Shabbos. The Chitim, if you're going to tell me, Shabbos guvet ishtari. On Shabbos, you should be allowed to move the little pieces of wood. Dadavar shemalach on the Easter, the Tzorach guvet, the Tzorach makom shari. Because something which is used for something prohibited, you're allowed to move it for its space or to use it in a permissible way. I'll tell you, no, honey, maybe that's only true. Echadika Torah's Kliyalaf. You're allowed to move a utensil, which is a malach to l'isum. Hey, Chabad, over here, we're talking about wedges of wood, to leka Torah's Kliyalaf. It doesn't have the status of a utensil. Then lo, then there never was a permissibility to move it for its space or another use. The Gemara now says, one second, how could you give the answer that on Yom Tov you can't move the wedges of wood because on Shabbos you can't move the wedges of wood? Do we make decrees to compare Yom Tov to Shabbos? We have a law that if you want to save your property because you have your figs out on your roof drying and you're worried that the rain is going to come and ruin the drying figs, you're allowed to gather up all those figs and throw them through the hole in the roof into the house. Yom Tov of Aloba Shabbos. On Yom Tov you can do it, but not on Shabbos. On Shabbos you can't do it. So, well, here it's not because of Ochel Nefesh. It's Hefsed Merubah. There's a great loss. And for the sake of a great loss, you can, you know, sort of sweep the figs off, but not on Shabbos. So I don't understand. Why don't we say that there's an equation between Shabbos and Yom Tov? Say, if you can't do it on Shabbos, you shouldn't be able to do it on Yom Tov. So I'm Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef answered, Lo Kash, it's not a contradiction. Rav Elezer. One is the view of Rav Elezer, and how Rav Yeshua. One's the view of Rav Yeshua at the time he went to Nebraisa. Also, Vespino, we know the Torah says you can't slaughter the animal with its child on the same day. What happens if both the father cow and the child cow, Naflu Bor, fell into a pit? And it's Yom Tov. So now one of them should be Muktza, because you can't slaughter one. You can only slaughter the other one. So Rebelezer says, Ma'ala Sarishno Manasta Shochto. Rebelezer says, on Yom Tov, you take out the first one, and you can say, because I'm going to slaughter it. Hashemi, now the second one, you can't take it out. Oslo Parnasi, just give it food, Bimkoma, where it is, Bishlushlo Yamas, did it not die and cause you a loss? Rabbi Yeshua Marmala Sarisha Manasta Shochto, you take out the first one saying, I'm going to slaughter it, and then you change your mind, you know, Shochto, you say, I don't want to slaughter this one. Umarim, then you tell everybody, I want to slaughter the second one. Umarim Sashemi, you take out the second one, and then you change your mind again, and Ratzazeshochet, you decide which one you want to slaughter. So you see the Rebbe Lezer does not allow you to do too much effort in order to save property. He says, just keep feeding it inside the pit. And Rabbi Yeshua allows you to do a lot of effort to save property. So we can say that the Tana that allowed you to sweep the drying figs into the house, that it allows it on Yom Tov, that because he also could be Yoshua that he allows you to do effort on Yom Tov to save property. Says me, my no. Who says? Maybe Rabbi Elazar allowed you over there to keep feeding it in the pit, and he didn't allow you to take out the second cow. Because you could be feeding it. But you don't have a way of saving it by feeding it because it's figs drying on a roof, and if it rains, it ruins the figs. No, he never would have allowed that. Maybe Yeshua only allowed it over there. He says you can take out the first and claim you're going to slaughter that, and then take out the second and claim you're going to slaughter that. When you don't have a way to sort of publicize some type of loophole, lo, he never would allow it. And therefore, there's no proof that this Mishnah is, in fact, the view of Rabbi Yoshua. So we're back to the same point. If you're going to tell me that Shabbos and Yom Tov are the same, it's not allowed on Shabbos, it's not allowed on Yom Tov because of the Gzeira, then the same way you're not allowed on Shabbos to sweep the figs into the house, you shouldn't be allowed on Yom Tov to sweep the figs into the house. El Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa gave another answer. Lo kasha, it's not a contradiction. This idea that since it's not allowed on Shabbos, it won't be allowed on Yom Tov, Beis Shammai. That's the view of Beis Shammai. And the view that said that on Yom Tov you'd be allowed to sweep figs into a house, but not on Shabbos, that's Beis Hillel. That's now in the Mishnah. Beis Shammai, Yom Beis Shammai say, now turning to Kuf Chof Tzalim and Beis, Ein Motzi in Esakot and Vesalula Vesefer Torah Lurshu Sarabim. Beis Shammai say, on Yom Tov, you can't carry a child or a lulav or a Sefer Torah from a house to a public domain because it's not for food. Beis Hillel say you're allowed to, because since you can do it for food, you could also do it for things that aren't food. So therefore, the same way in regards to carrying, Beis Hillel say that you're allowed to carry on Yom Tov, even though you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, and they make a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov, they would also make other distinctions between Shabbos and Yom Tov, like in regards to the dried figs. But according to Beis Shammai, who don't allow you on Yom Tov to carry, the same way you can't carry on Shabbos. They only allow you to carry on Yom Tov for food preparation. So they would be the ones who would also equate Shabbos and Yom Tov. Says the Gemara, no, but anyway, Beis Shammai equated Shabbos and Yom Tov in regards to carrying from a private domain to a public domain when it's not for the sake of food, but tiltal, but in regards to moving around muksa items within a single domain. Mishamale, where did we ever hear them equating things? So the Gemara answers, the tiltal gufe, the whole idea of muksa. It's all part of the idea of don't carry from the private domain to the public domain. The whole idea of muktzah was that because people were carrying from the private domain to the public domain, they said even within the private domain, don't move around those things that are often carried. So therefore, if you see that Beit Shammai equate the laws of Yom Tov and Shabbos in regards to carrying from the private domain, it would also equate them in regards to the issues of muktzah. Now, going back to the questions of a klisha malachtol isur, the utensils primarily used for something prohibited. Af Rav Savar l'lahadu Rava. Rav also holds like what Rava holds. And namely, when you have a utensil that's primarily for prohibited use, let's say a flip phone, you're allowed to move it to use it as a paperweight, and you're allowed to move it to get access to its space. Amar Rav, because Rav said, Mar, when you have a big shovel. So a shovel is used for shoveling. Shoveling is plowing. Shoveling is building. These are prohibited uses. To move the shovel, shalo yiganev, so that it not get stolen. Zeh tiltul shalo litzorach v'aser. That's a movement that's not allowed. However, time is shalo yiganev. It's when I'm moving it because I don't want it to get stolen. I'm moving it to save it. Av litzorach kufo. But if I want to move the shovel to use it as a weight, litzorach makomar, I want to use the shovel to be able to put a chair there. Mutter, it's allowed. Amy, is that really the view of Rav? But Rav Kahana, Iklu Bei Rav. We know Rav Kahana once came to the house of Rav. V'amar, and Rav told him, I see the shoot Lakana, Lesevole, bring a net. Now a net is used for trapping. Bring a big net so that Kahana can sit on it. So why do you have to say it's for the sake of sitting? Rav Lamemer, isn't it to say, the Davar Shemalach Tol Isur, that when you have something which is primarily used for something prohibited, Letzorach kufo in. You're allowed to move it because you're using it for something permitted. To have Kahana sit on it. Letzorach makoma lo, but to move it just to get access to the space, not. So I said, no, that's not what happened. Hachi Amar Luhu. This is what Rav told them. Shkulu shuta mikama Kahana. Take away the net from in front of Kahana so that he would have space for his chair. Because you're allowed to move it to get access to the space. There, the net was in a place where it could be damaged. Whereas Rav Kahana was in a place where it wouldn't be damaged. It was shady where Rav Kahana was. And if Rav would have told them, move it to where Rav Kahana is so that Rav Kahana can sit on it, people would think, if Rav would just say, move it to here, they would think he's moving it to save it. That's what he said, move it to here so Rav Kahana can sit on it, because otherwise he wouldn't have been allowed to move it. Rav Mari bar Rachel, Havaleahu Besadusa Beshimsha, he had these felt pillows out in the sun. Asa Lakami de Rav. Rav Mari came in front of Rav. Amalei, Rav Mari said to Rav, Ma'alitel Tulinu, can I move these around? Amalei said, Shari, you're allowed to move them, because Rav holds that a klisha malachtul aheter, a utensil that's primarily for permitted use, you can even move it to save it from the sun or from the elements. Then Rav Mari said, but isli achwina, I have other pillows. So Rav said, still, chazul urchin, okay, you might need it for guests. Isli nami l'orch, might even have for guests. Amalei galas adaitach the Karabas file. All right, I see you hold like Rabba. That a klisha malachta lehetter, utensil that is primarily for permitted use, you can't move it for saving it. So lekuli amashari, everybody else could move your pillows. Lidach aser, but for you, you're not allowed to do it. Amar Rab Abba, Amar Rab Chia bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Rab Abba said in the name of Rab Chia bar Ashi, name of Rav, machbedo shel milta. When you have brooms made out of garments, out of rags, mutl talchim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to move them around on Shabbos. Aval shel tamara, but the brooms that are made out of the leaves of the date tree, lo, you're not allowed to move them around. And Rabbi Lezer Omer av shel tamara, Rabbi Lezer says you can even move around the brooms made out of the date tree leaves. The Maya Skina, what are we talking about? Letzorach kufa letzorach makomo, if you're saying you need to move it because you need access to the space, you're moving it to use it in a permissible way as a weight. Bahalei marav, here Rav is going to say shel tamara, lo, you can't move the broom of the date tree leaves. Harav ki Rav asfirle, Rav holds like Rav, that even a utensil that's used for prohibited things, you're allowed to move it for its space or to move it for a permissible use. Ela mechama letzel, you're moving it from the sun to the shade. I understand, Bahalim Rebbe Lezer av shel tamara. Here, Rebbe Lezer is going to say that the broom of the date tree leaves, you can move from the sun to the shade. It's a klisha malachta le'isur. The olam note, we are talking about mechama letzel, from the sun to the shade. And not saying that Rebbe Lezer is saying that you're allowed to move them to save them, but rather Bechenam Rebbe Lezer. Rebbe Lezer said also that if the broom is made out of leaves, so that's already a klisha malachta le'isur, because that's going to smooth out smooth out all the holes, so that you're not allowed to move to save it. You're only allowed to move it to get access to its space, or allowed to move it in order to use it in a permissible way. Kol hakelim hanitzalim b'Shabbos, all those utensils that you're allowed to carry on Shabbos, shivreim nitzalim imayim, if they break, the broken pieces can also be carried with them. As long as the broken pieces can still do a bit of what the original whole utensil could do. Shivre areva, the broken pieces of a big kneading bowl, as long as you can use them to cover the top of a barrel. Shivrei schuchis, the broken pieces of a glass utensil. As long as they can be still used to cover a small container of oil. Rabbi Yehuda says, they have to still be doing a little bit of their original job. So shivrei areva, the broken pieces of a big bowl. Lots of letocha mikvah, as long as you can still put into it something, you know, some thick soup. And shel schuchis, the broken utensils of a glass bowl, lots of tochan shaman, as long as you can still pour into them oil. Okay.